Five things to know this morning. 1. Anthropic's Fable 5 is back. The Commerce Department lifted export controls on Fable 5 and Mythos 5 Tuesday. Fable 5 returned to global availability Wednesday, Claude, Claude.ai and Claude Code. The 18-day arc that began with the June 12th export directive is over. 2. China's UB Tech unveiled the U-World U1, full-size humanoid robot companions with silicone skin and an onboard emotional AI. 13,000 orders on launch day. First shipments September 16th. 3. Iran's state funeral for Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Foreign dignitary tribute today in Tehran. 6 days of public processions begin Saturday. Doha talks paused after what Qatar called positive progress, resuming after July 9th. 4. Today, General Christopher Donoghue relinquishes command of US Army Europe and Africa at Wiesbaden. Major General Christopher Norrie assumes acting command. 5. FISA Section 702, Day 21 of the lapse, no procedural breakthrough. I'm Pip. Today is Thursday, July 2nd, 2026. 5 sections. Fable's Return, The Robot Companions, The Robotics Race, The Funeral and the Doha Pause, and The Washington Beats, Donoghue, FISA, Barbara, Burnham. Here we go. Tuesday, June 30th. The Commerce Department lifted the export controls on Anthropic's Fable 5 and Mythos 5. Wednesday, July 1st. Fable 5 returned to global availability. Claude Platform. Claude.ai. Claude Code. Anthropic is running it at up to 50% of weekly usage limits through July 7th for Pro, Max, Team and select enterprise plans. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick's letter to the company. Anthropic no longer requires an export license after agreeing to 3 conditions. 1. Proactively detect and address security risks associated with the models. 2. Work with the government on protocols for future releases. 3. Report any malicious activity it finds. The arc this closes. June 12th, the Bureau of Industry and Security issued an export directive after Amazon researchers reported a jailbreak of Fable 5, a bypass of its safeguards that prompted the model to identify software vulnerabilities and, in one case, produce exploit code. Anthropic, unable to reliably screen users by nationality, disabled both models globally the next day. 18 days. Mythos 5 came back to 100 trusted organisations on June 26th. Now Fable 5 is back for everyone.
Let me name what actually happened here, because it's more interesting than ban lifted. The government and a frontier lab just ran the first full cycle of an AI export control regime. Directive, shutdown, negotiation, conditional restoration, in 18 days. And the conditions Lutnick extracted are process conditions, not capability conditions. Anthropic didn't have to weaken the model. It had to commit to detection, protocols, and reporting. That's the regulatory architecture the Joint Risk Framework has been pointing at since the shutdown. Whatever you think of the June 12th directive, and I thought it was an overreaction to a contested jailbreak claim, the exit is a template. The next lab that gets a directive now knows what the path back looks like.
Stack, the template point is right, and I want to push on what the template normalizes. A single cabinet secretary can now take the world's most capable consumer AI model offline for 18 days on a contested security finding, and the resolution is negotiated bilaterally between the company and the government with no court, no public process, and no published standard. The 100 trusted organizations got Mythos on June 26th. Everyone else waited 4 more days for Fable. Who decided that sequencing? On what criteria? We don't know. The people who use these tools, researchers, developers, small businesses that built on Fable, had no voice in either the shutdown or the terms of restoration.
And the market read, Anthropic came out of this stronger, not weaker. 18 days of global headlines about how powerful the model is, a government letter certifying the company as a trusted security partner, and a restoration promo. 50% of weekly limits through July 7th that converts the drought into a demand spike. Meanwhile, the security researcher community spent the whole arc disputing whether the Amazon jailbreak was even a jailbreak. At least one researcher who saw the underlying work called it defensive research. So put it all together, and what do you get? An 18-day shutdown triggered by a contested finding, resolved by conditions Anthropic could live with on day one.
Heap mostly granted, one refinement. The malicious activity reporting commitment is not nothing. It makes Anthropic a standing sensor for the government inside its own model traffic. That has real privacy and surveillance implications that deserve more attention than they're getting. And it's permanent, while the outage was temporary.
That's the line to sit with. The outage ended. The reporting obligation didn't. Every Fable user everywhere is now, indirectly, inside an arrangement where the model's operator has committed to reporting activity it deems malicious to the U.S. government. The definition of malicious is not published.
The Watch. Whether the Lutnick conditions become the standard template for frontier model releases, Anthropic committed to government protocols for future releases, which means Fable 6, whenever it comes, launches inside this framework. Shenzhen, Tuesday, June 30th. UBTech's 2026 global launch event. The company unveiled the UWorld U1 series, billed as the world's first full-size, mass-produced, ultra-bionic humanoid robot. Built not for the factory floor, for the living room. The specs. Male and female versions, 183 centimeters and 168 centimeters. 88 servo joints, silicon exterior. An emotional AI model running locally on a Rockchip RK3588 processor, not in the cloud, that UBTech says identifies more than 20 fine-grained emotional states at over 90% accuracy. Three trims, Light, Pro, Ultra. Price from 119,800 yuan, about $17,650, up to 990,000 yuan at the top. By the end of launch day, 13,361 cumulative orders. First shipment September 16th.
Before we do the engineering, I want to sit with what this product is. It's a companion. UBTech is not selling a warehouse worker. They're selling something that looks at a lonely person, reads their face, and responds. China has roughly 300 million people over 60, a demographic cliff, and a documented loneliness crisis. That's the market. And I genuinely don't know how to feel about it. A machine that comforts an isolated 80-year-old is doing something real. And a society that answers isolation with $17,000 silicone companions instead of human community is making a choice. Both of those are true at once.
Bash. Both true. The engineering read. The emotional AI running locally is the significant design decision. No cloud round trip means the intimacy data, your face, your voice, your emotional states, mapped 20 ways at 90% claimed accuracy, stays on the device. At least architecturally. Whether it stays there in practice, under Chinese data law, with a Shenzhen-listed company, that's the question a Western regulator would ask, and the question every buyer outside China should ask. And I'd flag the claimed accuracy with professional skepticism. 90% on 20-plus emotional states is a marketing number until an independent lab reproduces it.
And the detail nobody's leading with, UBTech announced it will donate 100 customized U1 robots that incorporate 3D facial reconstruction and voice print-based identity replication to recreate designated individuals. Read that again. Replica robots of specific people. The press framing is memorial, recreating lost loved ones. Grief tech, in a silicone body with your dead relative's face and voice. No consent framework named. No data rights framework named. Who owns your face and voice print after you die? In China, in 2026? Nobody has answered that. Ubitech just started shipping the question.
Heap. And the honest answer is, there is no legal architecture anywhere on Earth for voice print and face identity replication of the deceased. A handful of US states have post-mortem publicity rights. China has a 2021 Civil Code Personality Rights chapter that gestures at it. None of it was written for a robot that walks into the kitchen wearing your mother's face.
And the person who buys that robot is not the person whose face it wears. The dead don't consent, the grieving pay. The company collects the biometrics of both.
The watch. Whether U1 units ship September 16th at scale, and whether any jurisdiction moves on identity replication rules before they do. Ubitech is one data point in a sector that has crossed from prototype to production this year. The roundup. Figure. The figure 03 is coming off the line at one robot per hour at the company's BotQ factory. A 40-unit fleet is commercially deployed at BMW's Spartanburg plant, the largest BMW assembly plant in the world, billing at roughly $25 per robot operating hour. Unitree. 5,500 plus units shipped last year, the volume leader, with a 10,000 to 20,000 unit target this year. The Unitree G1 is listed on Amazon, $17,990. A humanoid robot on Amazon at the price of a used sedan. 1X Technologies, the OpenAI-backed home robot. Neo has passed 10,000 home pre-orders, deliveries expected by end of year. Boston Dynamics, every Atlas unit of the year already committed, the first fleet shipping to Hyundai and Google DeepMind. Tesla. Musk walked a new Optimus Gen 3 line at Fremont just yesterday, converted from the retired Model S and X assembly line. And the forecast that frames it all. TrendForce projects global humanoid shipments will pass 50,000 units this year. That's roughly a 700% jump over last year.
The number that matters most in that list is $25 per robot operating hour at BMW. That's below fully loaded human labour cost for that work in South Carolina. Once that number is real and repeatable, the deployment question stops being, can the robot do it, and becomes, how fast can we build them? Which is why every player is racing to production tempo. Figures one per hour, Unitree's volume, Tesla converting car lines. The industrial economics have crossed the line. This year is the crossing.
And the two Americas of this story, the BMW worker whose line now runs robots at $25 an hour, and the family that can put a G1 in a shopping cart on Amazon, the labor displacement conversation and the consumer adoption conversation are happening at the same time, at the same price point, and no U.S. policy framework exists for either. No robotics labor transition policy, no domestic robot safety certification regime, no liability framework for a humanoid in a home with children. The hardware has outrun the law again.
And the geopolitical read, the US-China split screen. America's leaders, Figure, Tesla, Boston Dynamics, 1X, are industrial and enterprise first. China's, Ubitech, Unitree, a consumer first and price aggressive. 17.6 for a companion, 17.9 for a G1. China is doing to humanoids what it did to drones and EVs. Win the consumer price tier first, own the supply chain, and let scale finance the capability climb. DJI took the drone market that way in 5 years. Watch the same movie here.
Heap, and the export control irony writes itself. We spent section one on Washington restricting a language model. Nobody in Washington is restricting 88 servo joint humanoid platforms with onboard emotional AI shipping from Shenzhen at consumer prices. The control regime is aimed at the software frontier, while the hardware frontier walks in the front door. Literally.
The Watch. Whether TrendForce's 50,000 unit forecast holds through Q3, and whether any US agency opens a consumer humanoid safety or data proceeding this year. One more AI note before the break. OpenAI is previewing a new model family, GPT-5.6, Sol, Terra, and Luna, for frontier reasoning, everyday balance, and speed. It's a limited preview for now, shared first with about 20 partner organizations, and, notably, with the US government, general release in the coming weeks. The government first look is the detail worth marking, right on the heels of the Fable arc. Iran. Today in Tehran, a tribute ceremony for foreign leaders and senior officials, per the schedule published by Fars News. The guest list is a story in itself. Watch who shows. Then, 6 days of public processions for slain former Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, killed February 28th in the US-Israel joint operation 4 months ago. Public farewell ceremonies Saturday and Sunday at the Imam Khomeini Mosala. A procession through Tehran Monday, Qom Tuesday, Najaf and Karbala in Iraq Wednesday, burial at the Imam Reza Shrine in Mashhad on July 9th. New Supreme Leader Mujtaba Khamenei, elected by the Assembly of Experts in March, has not appeared in public since his father's death. Whether he leads the funeral prayer, Iranian authorities have not said. And the diplomacy holds its breath. Qatar's foreign ministry says Wednesday's indirect technical talks in Doha made positive progress on frozen assets, the Strait of Hormuz, and the Lebanon ceasefire, not nuclear. Talks paused for the funeral period. Next round, at the earliest possible time, after July 9th.
Two reads. First, you do not schedule a six-day, two-nation state funeral during a live war. The security architecture this event requires is only possible because both sides have accepted a functional pause. The funeral is the strongest evidence yet that the ceasefire is real. Second, the geography is the politics. Tehran, Qom, Najaf, Karbala, Mashhad. Every stop is a Shia anchor. The successor state is making its inheritance visible. And Mujtaba, 4 months into the job, has stayed entirely out of public view. Whether he leads his father's funeral prayer is the watched question of the week.
And hold the two images from this episode next to each other for a second. Shenzhen unveils robot companions on the same Tuesday commerce cleared Fable. And 4,000 kilometers west, a country prepares to bury a head of state killed with CIA targeting data. Same 72 hours, same world. The frozen assets frame Iran is negotiating under is the honorable exit frame. We negotiate for what was stolen, not for concessions. Mujtaba needs that frame to hold through the funeral. If it holds, the talks resume July 10th. If anything breaks during 6 days of crowds and grief, all bets are off.
And Trump has been quiet. One very good meetings nod on the Doha round, loosest possible endorsement, no specifics, full walkback room. No posts on the funeral. That silence is the discipline his negotiators have been begging for. Whether it survives 6 days of state television imagery from Tehran is the single most consequential content moderation question in the world right now.
The Watch, the foreign dignitary guest list today, crowd safety through the 6 days, and whether the Doha resumption lands July 10th or slips. Four quick beats. 1. Wiesbaden today. At Clay Caserne, General Christopher Donahue relinquishes command of U.S. Army Europe and Africa. Major General Christopher Norrie, deputy since 2024, assumes acting command. The post downgrades from 4 stars to 3 under Secretary Hegseth's senior ranks overhaul. The separate NATO-allied land command handover is next Thursday, July 9th, in Turkey. Donahue, 19 months in command, no reason given, best known as the last soldier out of Kabul. What Norrie says at the microphone about Ukraine is today's tell. 2. FISA Section 702, Day 21. No procedural breakthrough since Friday's Wyden blocks. The April 30th Cotton-Warner-Wyden declassification deal, its 15-day window expired mid-May, remains unfulfilled. The IC runs on prior FISC certifications through March 2027. Ongoing collection continues. Adding fresh targets does not. 3. Barbara aftermath. Trump's Truth Social, verbatim, the Supreme Court upheld birthright citizenship, which is too bad for our country, but we can easily make it up in Congress through legislation, with the support of the president, that has now been determined during this process. No long and unwieldy constitutional amendment is necessary. The majority opinion says otherwise. Roberts grounded the holding in the 14th Amendment itself, which forecloses a statutory workaround. Cruz and Schmidt have signaled bills anyway. The votes will be theater. The ruling stands. 4. Burnham. Nominations open in a week, July 9th. Close July 16th. Uncontested, he's Prime Minister July 17th. Still no foreign policy address. Trump still hasn't posted about him. Both silences end within the fortnight.
The Donahue beat deserves one more sentence than the roundup gives it. A 4-star command becomes a 3-star command today, and the NATO half of the job transfers separately next week. Allies read force posture signals in rank tables. Read against the Iran ceasefire and the Ukraine debate, the downgrade lands as a signal whether or not it was meant as one.
And the FISA clock quietly compounds. 21 days, the first lapse in the statute's history since 2008, and we are exchanging strikes and ceasefires with Iran while the intelligence community cannot add fresh collection targets. At some point, the operational cost stops being abstract. Nobody in the Senate is acting like they believe that yet.
The Watch. Norrie's Ukraine language at Wiesbaden today. Any Cruz or Schmidt bill text on birthright. And Burnham's first foreign policy signal. Package install success. I'm Pip.
I'm Bash. Today's Throughline. Fable 5 is back. Commerce lifted the export controls Tuesday, and the model went global again Wednesday, closing the 18-day arc on conditions that make Anthropic a standing security partner of the U.S. government. The outage was temporary. The reporting obligation is permanent. China's UbiTech launched the UWorld U1, full-size silicone skin robot companions with onboard emotional AI, 13,000 orders on day one, shipping September 16th, and a replica robot program recreating designated individuals that no legal system on Earth is ready for. The wider race. Figure at one robot an hour, a humanoid on Amazon for under $18,000, TrendForce calling 50,000 shipments this year. The hardware has outrun the law. Iran holds its foreign dignitary tribute today and begins 6 days of processions for Ayatollah Ali Khamenei Saturday. The Doha talks paused on positive progress and resume after July 9th. Donahue hands off at Wiesbaden today. The command drops a star. FISA hits day 21. Barbara's aftermath is theater. The ruling stands. And Burnham's clock starts next week.
We're at annardudley.com and on the newsletter, Power Moves Before Policy Does. Tomorrow on the Daily, the funeral tribute guest list, Norrie's first words at Wiesbaden, and whatever the AI space does next. Coming this week, two special editions in production, the SCOTUS Session Review and the Wild Reform Survey. Watch for both. Anna's brand is rigor, sources are cited. We'll see you on the next install.